Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
And I'm Jeremy, and we are really, really pumped up for today's episode because we've got yet another member of Team Kelly on the show today. He is a photographer. He is a videographer. He's a director and oh so much more. He is Weiss Eubanks. We have been wanting Pam to talk with him for quite a while.
Well, I think we first connected with him in the summer, and Vegas was obviously a thing. So he was busy.
Yeah.
And then the move to New York happened. Also busy. So we understand. He has like a few jobs. He's like a little busy. So we were able, thank God, to catch him during like 1 week that the talk show is in hiatus. They're off for, we'll say, spring break, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we finally got him.
Yeah. So we're pumped up to have him on the show today. I know he's got a lot of stories that he's going to bring. And also, you know, kind of a different perspective to what it's like to work on Team Kelly. You know, we've heard from a lot of band members and people from behind the scenes, but Weiss really has a different perspective on a lot of the different areas of Kelly because he's there for both the musician and the television personality side of her career. And I just cannot wait to hear some of the perspectives and stories that he has to share.
Me too, especially he's been with her for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how long. We'll figure it out. We'll ask him. But he's been with her through a lot of different paths of her career. So whether that is like photo shoots, the talk show, touring, other miscellaneous category I can't think of, he's definitely been there for a lot of it. So very excited to speak with him today and dig deep, find out all about behind the scenes.
Pam, before we talk to Weiss today, we've got a couple of other things that we want to cover first.
We want to give a special thank you to our guests last week, Raven and Dan, who joined us for our second Kellyoke Fantasy Draft. And thank you all for voting. We put it up on all of our socials, and you guys got to choose whose draft you like the best. I feel very weird talking about this because I won.
Yes.
And I did not rig it. I did not rig it.
No, of course not. No.
The people just like my taste, which
I
appreciate.
You did. And you know what? It was actually a really hard vote because I thought all four of us had really, really solid drafts. And you know you do really well when you have a bunch of people who are writing and saying, I choose this person, but why didn't anybody pick this song? Or why didn't anybody pick this song? So there was obviously a lot that we left on the table. And like Pam said, thank you to Dan and Raven for being a part of our Kellyoke draft because it was a lot of fun. And Pam, congratulations.
Well deserved.
Quite a nice looking draft you had there. Do you have a song that you feel like pushed you over the edge?
Okay, so I had a few people call me out for this and I'm like, all right, whatever. Apparently, my memory is not great. Apparently, Lose Control with Teddy Swims was not like the official Kellyoke of the episode, but it was a performance on the show. But so I got a little, you know, I don't want to say hate. I got a little some comments about that. However, I still do think that was a big contender. I think Happier Than Ever. I think Survivor. ABCDEFU. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there was just one thing, but I do think that the Teddy Swims thing definitely helped. So, whatever, if it wasn't an official Kellyoke, it was performed on the show, and I'm claiming it to be valid.
And hey, even, you know, you think about it like sports rules. If somebody saw the foul but nobody called it, then we can't do anything about it, especially if it affects the outcome of the game.
That's right.
Nobody on the show called it out as not being an official Kellyoke. So even if it isn't classified as such, we considered it as that on the show. So
I'll do my research better next time. I just assumed, which you should not assume, but whatever. But thanks for voting, guys.
Them's the breaks, I suppose.
Thanks, guys.
Great. It was a great time at the Kellyoke Fantasy Draft. We're looking forward to the next time we do one of those. And I gotta come more prepared next time. Maybe not just come in completely unprepared. Got to do my homework next time.
You have to do your homework.
Yep.
Speaking of Kelly-oke, I want to just very briefly talk about a week and a half ago, give or take. Kelly, they did a very rare Saturday taping. They never do Saturday shows, but as soon as I saw it go up online, I was like, I have to be at either one of the two, the morning or the afternoon. I did not have a preference. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just want to be there and not take off work. That's the dream, because I always have to.
Yeah.
So I went with Rob and our friends Jesse and Brett, and what a wild day. What a wild day. Okay, first of all, the Kelly-oke was Be Still, which I don't think she's performed that since like the Reba tour, which was 16 years ago.
Oh my God.
if I'm doing my math correctly. And so that was just like such a cool thing. She had like said that she like kind of forgot about it, which I understand. And we always joke about that. There definitely are songs there that she forgets exist. I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. It's not like a hit that she's playing on tour every year. But it was such a good performance. He only did one take, which I was very surprised by, considering it's a song that she hasn't done in forever. Super good. It was so good. And I will say, you know, your girl can be a little, one thing about me is I'm not subtle. I'm not quiet, but I hope I'm not too crazy about it. So me and my little crew I was with, my friends, we were like, because we saw the little teleprompter, when Kelly was going to be like, all right, that was my song, Be Still, from the 2007 album, My December. So I was like, guys, like, let's just like really cheer when she mentions the album, because like it deserves to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And boy, did we.
What I love about when you really get a chance to cheer is you always bring up your cheerleading experience.
I do. Okay. So yes. So I was a cheerleader for a decade, which is like so not my personality. We won't get into that. But if I'm not, I can't really, I'm not like a gymnast or by any means, but if it taught me anything, I can be very, very loud if I want to be. Mm-hmm. So your girl was like hooting and hollering, go, you know, whoop, whoop, all that stuff. And I was not subtle. And Kelly was very surprised that there were some stands in the audience. And then she was like, oh, I know you. I'm like, hey, sup. So that was a moment.
Well, let's you're kind of burying the headline here, because
what?
You came outfitted properly.
I was about to say that.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay. So I wore my Band Y'all t-shirt that has all the names of the talk show band. I wore it proudly. The band, it was weird. Long story short, because it was a Saturday, it was the afternoon taping, they had like a time constraint on when the band was able to perform. So they performed all of their like intro, outros, bumpers, whatever, like in between the AM and PM shows, because SNL was, they were prepping for SNL and they couldn't be too loud. So during the episode, there was no band. They did it as we were like walking in. So anyway,
weird.
They were performing, just, you know, a little like, all right, and do the intro for this, cut. And I like happened to look over to them. I made eye contact with someone. I don't remember who it was. And I just because I'm so ridiculous, I just stood up, showed my shirt, and the band just was like cheering. And I'm just, there was no words actually exchanged. And that, so they saw the shirt. Valerie Bertinelli, she was the guest, and she was talking about how much she loves Chemistry. And she was like to the audience, you guys have heard her, right? Kelly pointed to our section, be like, I know you guys have. I may or may not have like 10 copies.
But the funny thing is that the way that the show was edited is that they show Kelly point to the crowd, and then immediately the camera angle cuts to you. It's like primarily you, like your friend Brett's our friend Brett's in the shot too. But it's
barely.
Like, it's focused,
I know,
on you.
And I felt really bad because Rob was like, Rob told his mom to like tune in. Oh, mom, I'm going to be on TV.
Oh, poor Rob.
No, like maybe his neck was. That's about it. I felt bad. But again, I think it's also because your girl is loud.
I mean, just the editing that it's hilarious. Was what made it look like the, I mean, like, it looked like they had a camera ready to cut to you,
which,
because
oh God,
it was so quick and they were so on it and they were focused right on you. I was just like, and if I could steal something from Rob, that's my Pam, y'all.
That's my fam, y'all. I think the highlight of the day was towards the very end. It was during one of the commercial breaks. Kelly just like pointed at me and she's like, I need that shirt. And I like was, I kind of blacked out for a second and I was like, I can arrange for that.
Kelly's talking to her. So yeah, immediately Pam just goes catatonic.
Exactly. So I was like, I can arrange for that, you know? And she's like, no, I want to buy one. And I'm like, what the fuck do I say in that moment? Like, sure, Kelly, give me your email. No, 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 no. So I was just like, I'll send Jason the link, which I did. And I mean, I didn't hear anything, but that's totally fine. I don't expect anything. But I was just like, what? Homegirl wants to pay for this. So as of recording, she hasn't bought it. But you know what? She could, and I will be very excited. I will be hooting and hollering once again. So
could happen at any time.
It was really cool. I met Alex Duda very briefly, the executive producer. She's super nice. Loved our shirts as well. So thank you, Jeremy, for designing literally all of our merch. I did not do anything. I just said yay or nay. I saw Andy. We saw Weiss. It's a good time all around. So I'm excited for you to come back to a taping because
I know
you need to. Because it's really turning into Pam and that guy, and I don't like that. I don't like that. You deserve just as much as I do, and it just sucks that you live in the middle of nowhere.
I know, and you know the thing that really sucks is that I was kind of looking, and I don't even think they've put the dates out as of our recording today, but I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, when I come out for Atlantic City, maybe I can like weave my way through New York and all this, and I'm just like,
they have put the dates out, but it's not like,
isn't it?
They have like a day or two of like rehearsing, I think, and yeah. So it would, yeah.
I would have to get there like Monday.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not spending the week in New York. I mean, I love New York and all, but no, thank you.
I don't blame you. Anywho, I don't really know what the point of this was, but I figured I would share with you guys.
Well, you know, if people missed your Instagram story the day of, you know, then they didn't hear this story. And it's a fun story.
Someone, oh my God, I felt very cool. Someone, when we were in the waiting room, came up to me and was like, I love your podcast. I was like,
aww.
And I just said, thank you. And then I think her name is Sarah. So thank you, Sarah. I was like, oh my God, someone listens. So
somebody listens to Miss Into Podcast with Pam and that other guy.
And that guy. No, Jeremy. Jeremy. Anywho, it was a fun time had by all. I need to be less loud.
No, it was great. I thought what you did was fantastic.
I'm just, you know, we love My December. We love chemistry. And it deserves all its flowers. All their flowers. Whatever.
Who are you kidding? If somebody would have shouted out thankful, you'd have been like, woo!
Oh, of course. I would have been like, yeah, from Justin to Kelly soundtrack. You know? Oh, of course. Listen, I'm dedicated. You, so are you. We've been here. I mean, listen, I've been a fan more than half my life. Mm-hmm. So we're in it.
I just don't have a loud enough voice to carry like yours does.
work on it.
Oh, I'm working on it. By the way, speaking of merch in a roundabout sort of way, we are going to be doing another merch drop very, very soon. If it hasn't already happened by the time this comes out, I know we want to try to get some new stuff that people can get in their hands in time for Atlantic City. So if it hasn't already dropped, keep an eye out. It will be coming very, very soon. So keep an eye on missintopodcast.com for the latest merch. We would love to welcome to the show for the very first time. He is a still photographer. He's a videographer. He's a director. He is a literal Swiss Army knife for Team Kelly. He's Weiss Eubanks. Thanks for joining us, friend. How are you?
Thanks. What an introduction. I like that.
I like that. I was waiting for you to say like jack of all trades. Yeah. I like Swiss Army knife a lot better.
Yeah.
Great. I love that.
Yeah. I always like to be a little extra with the intros just because we know that you guys all wear more than one hat regardless of what you're doing. So you should be recognized for it.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's kind of a prerequisite to work in this camp.
I bet. So we have, a ton of questions that we want to ask you. But I guess first and foremost, I wanted to ask you, how are you or how have you adjusted to life in New York City?
Remarkably well, surprisingly, unexpectedly. It is absolutely not what I expected. Full disclosure, I hated the idea. I was not into it at all. In fact, we did season 4, we did our premiere show from here in New York. And I've been to New York a lot, love New York, always loved it. But it was always here working, grinding, and it's just a different way to be in this city. And at that point, we came here, we did like 4 shows in the Jazz Center, and it was a grind. It was grueling. I literally came home from that and was just like, if I never go to New York again, I'm okay with it. I'm fine, because I was just over it. And it was like a month later, it was like, hey, by the way, we're you know, moving to New York. I was like, ooh. So that was,
yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
Wow, careful what you say out loud, you know.
That's what you get for manifesting.
Exactly, right.
You never say it out loud.
Exactly.
I get it. Because like, if it's mainly just been like, quote unquote, I use this term loosely, business trips, you're not here for fun. So you just associate this with like, yes, okay, I have to get up at 4 a.m. or yes, whatever. And
exactly,
like, it's, I get that. It's not fun. Also, this city is exhausting. Mm-hmm. It is so exhausting. So I understand. I understand completely. I lived in the city for 3 years and I was like, that's enough. I'm going to move back to Jersey where it's a little bit quieter.
Yes.
But yes, so that's exciting though. But you're liking it? You're adjusting well?
Well, you know, it just had a mental shift of like, well, it's happening. So, you know, either go begrudgingly and hate it, or, you know, open your mind a little bit. And because, you know, if you go in hating it, you're only going to focus on the things you don't like. And so me and my wife talked about it. And we both just kind of did a mental shift of like, focus on the things we do like about New York and just have an open mind. I've only been here working. We have no idea what living's here. So I feel like once we kind of made that mental shift in our heads, it opened us up to like see all the great of New York. And man, I gotta say, it's nothing like we expected. It's, you know, you hear about, oh, the grumpy New Yorkers, ooh, blah, blah, blah. And it's nothing like that, obviously. You know, I honestly feel like the people are nicer here than anywhere I've lived. I've lived in the South. I've lived in LA. I've lived all over this country. And like, it's, the brand here is a no BS nice. Like, it's not a fake nice. It's not and that's just kind of how I am. So I agree with it. It feels good. You know, I like it.
That's a nice way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I'm being like aggressive towards Jeremy, I just need to say, no. I'm being nice. I'm just being no BS nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
I like
New York
that.
Nice.
And like, I'm guessing typically when you had been here for work, you were like, you know, basically Midtown. You're just in.
Exactly.
Which is the worst place to be. And granted, you still are a little bit now, but at least you have the freedom to like explore other places.
I moved to the Upper West, so I live in
Upper
West.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, it's quieter. It's so nice to like walk out and walk just away from Midtown and hear it get quiet as you get further and further away. And man, Upper West Side, I know nothing about New York. I have no idea what Upper West Side was, but I had no idea how quiet and chill and nice it is. It's really great. So
the more uptown you go, the quieter it gets.
Well, so. I'm right on the edge. I mean, kind of like Hell's Kitchen.
Cusby. Cusby.
Yeah, I'm like right on the edge, but it's edge enough that I like it.
That's a great location right by the park. That must be amazing.
Which,
well, I'm so happy.
By the way.
Savior. Oh,
The park.
I can imagine if you're used to like somewhat nature, then you come to New York and you're just like,
yes,
what's this tree?
Me and my wife spend a good hour or so every day there. We take a walk every day into the park. It's great.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love that for you guys. Well, welcome. Excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Both on the podcast and in New York. Very exciting. I selfishly was very excited when you guys made the move. And so far the talk show has been wonderful. What's it like working at 30 Rock?
Great. Again, unexpected, not near as you know, when you visit New York, you're working, you're doing a lot of TV shows and you're around a lot of crews can be grumpy, especially if you're not from here. If you're not local, they're not always friendly and nice. So, you know, I kind of came into it expecting some grumpy coworkers, and it was complete opposite of that as well. Everyone, it's been the nicest work atmosphere. It's actually flows a little smoother than LA did, which was another shock. I think because we're pressed for time, we share a hall with Fallon. There's no we had our own building in LA, so we could really kind of like waste time when that would drag the days out. And so it's nice how everything just kind of moves nice and quick. We're in and out. Nice.
I never considered that you guys, since you guys had your own soundstage on the Universal lot out in LA. Yeah. You guys just sort of had the run of the place. You could just sort of lollygag an episode or two and kind of just take your time.
Exactly. Not only did we have our own soundstage, we were the only building on that lot that has the soundstage and the offices all in one building.
Oh, wow.
Usually when shows shoot on Universal, there's just a soundstage and the offices are in some other building, like all the, but our entire staff, production, talent, everybody was housed in one building. That's unique. That's not normal for shows. Like, not everyone is always housed in one building. So it was really, it was ours. We had our own kind of, it was like our house. We could do what we wanted to do. And that was nice. But,
and you still kind of do, but you share it with a lot of people now. You have a lot of neighbors.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Have to be considerate of the people that are around you now and
absolutely
get out and get done.
But I love it, man. I do love, I mean, it's in 30 Rock. I mean, there's so much, it's like every day you're walking through history too. You're walking through, you're seeing so much. And now that I work there, I'm seeing parts of the building that I've never seen and really getting to see some really cool stuff. And that part's always fun. It never gets old.
That's awesome. That's great. That must be just the most surreal thing, just to say, yeah, I got to go to work at 30 Rock every single day. And that's your daily every single day.
You're living your Liz Lemon moment.
Yeah. And I never even knew it was a dream of mine, to be honest. And like the first time I saw my name tag with like the 30 Rock logo and the NBC logo on, it was just like, that was really cool. That was an unexpected moment. I had no desire. Like, it was never a dream of mine to work in TV.
Well, and, you know, that kind of dovetails us into, you know, another question about sort of going back to the beginnings of you becoming a creative and, you know, working a lot behind the camera. What kind of got your initial interest in, like, the visual arts? I mean, were you always, like, a photography nut, or did you start with design? Like, how did you get into the creative space?
Art is kind of in my family. We're all artists. Everyone in my family is an artist of some sort, drawing, music, whatever. So I've always been into art. I've took art classes, obviously. And then I got in, my first job was in an art gallery studio. We basically created the photos for hotels. Like, I did French matting and faux marbling and all this like art stuff, and creating lamps with fake marble, faux marbling and stuff like that. So I immediately just started in art and did art. Then I eventually moved to screen printing. I owned screen printing and graphics. I did a lot of art and graphics. And then honestly, photography was never, wasn't even in my peripheral until I got married. And I'm going to date myself, but when I got married, the first digital camera had come out, and we took it on our wedding and honeymoon to Hawaii. And I took some photos on this digital camera, and it's when it really snapped. Like, this isn't film. This isn't, you know, I was poor. I didn't have money at the time. And this was like a tangible way to take photos constantly and really learn, because there was the money curve to learning photography, because film and light, you know, dark rooms, all that stuff was really expensive to try to learn on that. And so that just inspired me right away when just taking photos in Hawaii. And then I just,
was it from there? Did you like, you know, go to like, I don't know, either the library or like Barnes and Noble or whatever, just like, or online and just get all these books, be like, how do I actually use this thing?
Yes.
What does this mean?
Actually, I bought a book. I bought Joe McNally's Hot Flash Diary, or something like that. It was just a book on like how to use a hot flash and basic photography stuff. And it was kind of a Bible for a minute. And yes, I YouTubed and chewed up everything, and it just evolved. And I just was doing it for fun on the side while I was, you know, running a screen printing and doing graphics and doing all, which is really great, because that prepared me for all the, you know, the Photoshop and all the post work for photography. I pretty much had a grasp of Photoshop, a grasp of Illustrator and graphics from doing all of that. So that kind of helped. It just all kind of worked together anyway. And then obviously my brother's Aben, he got the job with Kelly. And so following him around, taking photos of them live. It just evolved into, I enjoyed photographing live music, and Kelly would allow me, you know, to bring a real camera to the shows, because you used to not be able to do that. You didn't,
right.
They didn't allow real cameras in the venue, but, and plus the access to stage and stuff. And it just kind of evolved from that.
So I guess, like, in the beginning, so to speak, like when you were working for her, was it more of just like a, hey, you know, I can take off, you know, I can work a few of these shows, or I can take off a few weeks and just come out and shoot some stuff? Or was it like one-offs?
It was definitely, well, you know, it kind of started where I was just going on my own. I would take photos and just give them to her, or give them right. to Aben, give to whoever. And then actually she hired, the first job she hired me for, she wanted me to come, just crazy. I'd never left the country. The first job she hired me for was, she wanted me to come and film House of Hope in South Africa and do like a little mini doc, because she was doing this song for the Stronger right. Tour.
Yeah.
So, and she wanted to create some visuals for that. And it was like the first job she hired me for was like, hey, would you want to come and film this in South Africa? So literally my first stamp on my passport ever was like, okay.
Impressive.
Yeah. Impressive. Yeah. Like, I'd never been anywhere like outside the US.
Now, had you done like film work prior to that, or were you strictly like a still photographer?
No, I was doing like, I was really into film just as much as photography. And it was a real, it was a struggle for me in the beginning of which direction to go, to where I just quit struggling and did both. Didn't try to struggle with one, or, you know, I didn't feel good giving one up. I didn't want to give one up for the other. It didn't feel right. So I don't know what, at what moment I decided I'm just going to do both. What do I, whatever. I love them both.
Also, I feel like once you kind of are confident in film, in photo, you can get more. I mean, I think
agreed.
At least
I agree.
You have the eye for it, and it's not. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but like with film, you don't have to do all the editing. All the, you know, with photos, you have to have the good eye. But video, there's so many different positions, I guess, within video content.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well.
Right.
Might as well.
Right. Okay. For sure.
So do you, you said you also kind of got your early start in shooting shows and stuff. And as somebody who has shot live music before as well, it's not easy. I mean, it's one thing if you're a fan and you got a phone and you're in a crowd and you can just snap away. It's one thing. But when you've got like a professional, you got professional gear and you've got a finite amount of time, at least for those of us who are like,
usually it's what, like first three songs or whatever. They're like, bye guys.
Yeah. I'm not like Weiss, who can roam the pit as long as he wants. But like, you know, us media guys, we get the first three songs, no flash, you know, stay within this area. It's a tough ask. It's hard. And you're learning as you go. Like your first few shows are going to be garbage.
Absolutely. Even what? Still today for me.
Oh, stop it.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Cause I, even though, you know, a great photographer like yourself, you're still shooting hundreds of photos during a show, and there's a good number of them that are out of focus. They're, you know, they're off center. There's something wrong that, you know, you can't just fix it with Photoshop. So it's not, cause I've talked to other photographers and it's nice to know that happens to everybody, and that, oh yeah, I got a whole, you know, album full of blurry photos just as much as, you know, these amateurs do.
Absolutely. And it's why I run around so much. It's trying to find new angles and trying to find, and it's not only the new angles, it's to capture those moments, capture those angles in the right moments. And if you don't know the set, it's hard to plan for things. And some, you know, I can't remember a whole set. It takes me a few shows to like, oh, okay, this is this song. Aben's going to be here. Jocko's going to be here. I need to be here for this moment. That'll look really cool. You know, it takes, I'm with you, man. It takes a few shows to figure that stuff out, to really get the quality shots. I mean, yes, you may get lucky in those first three songs, or even first three shows, whole shows. I may get lucky and get some really cool photos because I'm shooting 1500 photos
mm-hmm.
per camera and I'm carrying two cameras, you know? So it's 100% that. And that's just, when you're doing live music, you can't expect, because the lights are constantly changing. They're moving. The people are moving. You're fighting a crowd. You're fighting people getting in the way. You line up, it happens all the time. You see a perfect shot, and right when you're snapping it, a fan jumps up and they block the entire thing. It's like, it happens. It's just, it is what it is.
I laugh at that because that exact moment has happened to me on countless occasions. So I absolutely know that.
All right. So if the House of Hope thing, I'm weird with dates. So the House of Hope thing was probably like 2011-ish, 2012-ish, give or take.
2010, 2011.
11, yeah, in that range. So then she's like, all right, Weiss, you're pretty damn good. When was it then was like, so you want to like come out on the road and make this like a thing?
That didn't happen for a couple more years.
Was it just like sporadic stuff in between then?
Yeah, I was doing
projects
like,
here.
Yeah, I did a project here and there, or I would just go shoot photos of shows. But I actually was feeling the itch for video as well. And I was getting really burnt out in the graphics world. It felt like a ball and chain. I had a building that I had to be at, you know, 9 to 5. It just felt very grueling, ball and chain. And so I started, you know, I lived in Austin at the time. This is all in Austin.
Love Austin.
That's where I spent most of my adult life, in Austin. And a good friend of mine, I printed these for a bike club in Austin. It's called Terrible One. Good friend of mine, Joe Rich. He had a friend that was shooting weddings. Zero interest in weddings. Yuck. In my no desire to shoot weddings.
I don't blame
whatsoever.
You.
It was just like, absolutely not. But again, this is right when the 5D, the first like real digital video camera, the 5D, I think it was the Mark II that finally had real video that was like quality, commercial quality. Like you could actually shoot a commercial in this camera. I mean, people did. They started doing that and started shooting music videos with these. But a friend of his was shooting weddings, but he was shooting them with these 5Ds, and the production was just so impressive. I was blown away with what he was doing with these weddings. That I was just like, this could be, you know, a good step. There's a lot of money in weddings. Like,
yes,
everything for a wedding, just take the price tag and quadruple it. And that's how much it cost. So I was just like, well, you know, and I saw how much he was getting paid to do these videos. I was like, well, I wonder if that's something I can do. So I did a couple friends' weddings for free. It worked out. They love the weddings. And I just started a wedding business on the side. Me and my wife started shooting weddings. And while we were shooting weddings, we made a vision board. And we had some goals that we wanted. And Kelly was on that vision board. Kelly in a tour bus with cameras.
Really?
Yes, I wanted to travel. That's why we wanted to do weddings. We wanted to do destination weddings. We wanted to travel. And we worked together doing this, and we got to travel. We did some weddings.
Does your wife also do photography?
Yeah, she shoots. She shoots as well. And she works for Kelly as well.
Wait, really?
She's running the socials and marketing for Kelly now.
Oh, fantastic.
No way.
Yeah. So it's
all
very
intentional
camp.
But you know what? If you trust people, you know people, why not?
Yeah,
hire
totally.
Within.
It
hire
works.
Within always.
It works. So, you know, I'm not going to, I don't see any complaints for me.
Yeah. So going to video, so you actually have directed a couple of her videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Jeannie shot those.
So yeah, how does that decision get made? Or, I mean, does Kelly come to you, or do you say, hey, you know, if you ever have a video that you're looking for a director,
hit me up.
Yeah, holler at your boy.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always, you know, hey, I can do it. Always. That's all. It's
Hi.
Always, you know. And this was, you know, she had managers, so it was more going through. At
yeah.
the time, it was Narvel. The first couple of videos I did, it was Narvel, and I was mainly dealing with Narvel and working through them as far as, can you do this or not? You know,
right.
What budgets and all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's basically just, I ask, and you know, you don't get anything if you don't ask.
I love that. So you worked on, okay. So I have a few of these written down, but my research may not be fully in depth. Okay. So you'd worked on the Wrapped in Red video.
Yes.
Which is gorgeous. So
thank you.
So aside from filming it, you also directed it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah. All right. So that video in particular, I know there's a lot of shots of her, which I'm assuming you filmed, but then there's also a lot of like old school B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like archival footage? Is that you?
Yeah. I sourced those from like old archival footage that you can buy. It's like literally old home movies from the 50s and 60s that you can you can purchase rights to use. And that's what I did. And I threw filters on it and all that kind of stuff and edited it in that way, which I caught a lot of trash for, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I heard, it was a lot of comments of like, oh, the quality of this film is terrible. Like, why would you shoot it this bad? It was a lot I caught a lot of heat for that video.
Wasn't it obvious it's not filmed in like the 21st century? Like,
I thought so.
Like the archival stuff. And then like the effects that you did on hers were whatever. People can have their opinions.
Too, by the way, I used a crazy weird lens, a Petzval. It's called a Petzval. And you could put different shape apertures in the back of it. That's why it has like snowflake shaped bouquets in.
That's impressive when you can do on camera effect like that rather than doing it in post.
Yeah. Everything in there that's all in camera effects. I didn't do any of that in post.
That's awesome.
I don't even know how to do that in post, so I couldn't.
Yeah, learning that in an After Effects would take a while.
Yeah.
Took that a while. Yeah.
You also did the Tie It Up video as well, right?
Those are my wedding videos. Those are real weddings that I shot and edited.
No way.
Absolutely. Going back to the wedding videos. Exactly.
So did you just like read, because I know there were a couple like fan submissions as well, but did you just like reach out to some of your clients and be like, hey,
those were all my clients. I reached out to all my clients. We shot a lot of weddings in those few years. And so I reached out to every one of them and got their signatures and got their rights to use their actual weddings. Every wedding in there, the only things that weren't my weddings were the photos. Those were submissions. Right. The photos were submissions, but all the videos were my actual weddings that I shot, my actual clients, and their real weddings.
Also, that's awesome. Okay, applause to you because that also cuts the costs.
100%.
I'm having to go out and find people, find actors, and do all. Good job. Resourceful.
We did the fake wedding. We rented a barn out somewhere in Tennessee outside of Nashville and put together that fake wedding that she's in, obviously. Yes. That's a fake wedding that we spent a day shooting.
Right.
But everything else those are real weddings that from my reel. You can go to my Vimeo page and see most of those full weddings.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you know how to like ball a wedding video on a budget. that's fantastic.
Hey man, again, I asked for it and that's how I sold it. We have half footage already.
You kind of mentioned, you know, you first sort of had your first assignment, so to speak, with Kelly on during the beginning of the Stronger tour, and you go to South Africa. When is it that you kind of got the call or the two of you sort of had the conversation like, hey, what do you think about, you know, sort of making this a full-time thing? Like you work with me. Like when did that conversation happen?
That happened. And we argue about the actual time this happened. Cause I can't remember. I think it was summer, but it was 2013. I do believe. We were shooting her Christmas album. She was doing her Christmas album. She was recording Wrapped in Red.
Right.
And I was shooting all the, like, I was filming her shoot that. And I was shooting all the BTS. And that was what she was just hired me on per job. And me and Jeannie would go out. My wife is Jeannie, by the way, Jeannie Eubanks.
Hi.
We'd go out. we would go and shoot, spend a couple weeks, shoot some B-roll, make edits, and she would put that on her socials or give it to whoever for whatever. And then just one summer we're out there, she's getting ready for tour, doing all the stuff that you do to get ready for tour. And we were just, I can't remember. I think we were in a hotel getting ready to go shopping or something. It was something random. And she just started talking about needing someone to do that. And I was just like, hello.
Hi.
Here. And when she seemed she was surprised. She was like, you own a business. You like, really, you want to do this? And I'm like, I'm looking for a way out of this business. That business is a ball and chain. Like, no, I would happily go on the road with you and start working with you. And that's pretty much when it started. And it's been off to the races since then.
Was it cool to know that not only were you going to, again, break the ball and chain of the sort of the 9-to-5
corporate America or whatever.
But at the same time, not only were you getting to do something that, again, you said you put on your vision board, but you also, to an extent, it's kind of cool because you get to kind of work next to your brother as well. Like, was that like a cool consideration?
Absolutely. It was a huge part of the consideration. You know, like me and Aben grew up together. We've always been really close. We've worked together in the past. So, you know, we're pretty close. And that was obviously a big part of, like, I mean, I grew up on the road with him. My dad was a touring musician, and Aben started playing with him, you know, when he was 14. I'm sure y'all know all this. And so I was, you know, the little kid asleep next to the PA watching him do that all, you know, all growing up. So that was my lifestyle growing up. So this was almost like going back to home. That was a very familiar place for me. And so, yeah, it was absolutely very appealing to.
And this time you're actually working and yeah. not just watching.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're getting paid. You're like, getting paid. I don't have to just sit here and be bored and watch you guys.
Exactly. Exactly. And pass out in front of the PAs while I'm half deaf.
Yeah. I'm not at nearly as many shows as you, but like I am feeling that already. And I'm like, oh God, earplugs, I'm only
30. Man,
I know. The only problem with earplugs, and this is definitely a personal problem that I don't need to be using our time for, but I'm like, I always hear myself if I talk.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how to stop talking anyway.
Yeah. With the amount of shows that I go to, I mean, I have to do earplugs anymore. Otherwise I'm not going to make it to my 50s, you know, at shows. So, same. I'd like to still be able to go to shows.
Yes. Oh, I was so thankful. It was the best thing of start. It was when I got my in-ears working for her. It was just like, oh my gosh, it's save my ears.
I bet. Now, what do you hear in your in-ears when you're at a show?
I ask for different things. Sometimes I'll have whatever Jason's listening to, or I have whatever Aben, I move around with whoever. Sometimes they give me which was really great. They'll give me a pack that I can just switch through through each one. Sometimes I'll just switch through and see who's listening to what. So
I never thought to ask you that.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I assume you're not listening or you're listening maybe just to like, I don't know, someone backstage, like giving cues or whatever, not necessarily.
On the show I am. On the show I'm listening to the director for camera cues. And so I'm not in front of a camera in the way, but for like live shows, I've got the show in my ears. For sure. Like I've got literally like most of the time it's Aben because Aben has Aben's mix is more you hear everything. Like Lester's mix, as soon as I switch to him, it's just drums beating in the head. You know, it's really loud drums, obviously, you know. So there's certain mixes that I don't go into, you know. But like some guys mix their I like people's mix. I mean, Aben, obviously, we grew up together, we have a lot in common, so his mix is obviously I like it. It feels more like what I like too. So, same with Josh. I think it's the guitar players. They're since it's guitar, I feel like the guitar players mix is more balanced. And you know,
now I'm just gonna think about this. Whenever I go see a show again, I'm gonna be like, he's listening to something. Why is he listening to something?
Absolutely. And if you bring a headphones with a little mini, I can plug you in. You can hear yourself.
That's amazing.
It's just you can't listen to my in-ears because they're, you know, they're fit for my ears. But if you had something to plug in, you could. I let you because it's cool to hear what the musicians get to hear. It's really cool because it's not what you think because they control everything.
Are you also hearing a click track or are you? Is that just
if
like
they
for
have
like
it in
Jason
there,
and Kelly?
If they have it in, if I go to Jason's, I mean, everybody's got different. That's the thing. But when they're doing sound check, they talk to the sound guy and they'll say, okay, he'll talk. Okay, Jason, what do you want? And Jason be like, less drums, more of this. I want the click track, this volume. I want the drums to be back here. I want Aben over here. Like they literally can place the instruments in their in-ears as well. So it's mm-hmm. really cool what they get to hear. And that's usually, I like to flip through there and
it's
listen.
Like a radio station. You're like, all right, now we're going to have some vocals. Yeah, that would,
that would be fascinating to be able to flip through all the different channels of what everybody's listening to.
Yeah, I love when I'm able to get a pack that has that. I probably should awesome. Say that out loud. Probably the band's going to be mad at me now.
Hey, don't give away all the secrets. Come on now.
You love everyone equally.
Yes. So let's fast forward to you finding out that that Kelly's going to have a talk show. Did you assume right away, since you're working with her, that you were going to have a role with this? Or did you start thinking to yourself, oh, looks like I'm going to have a lot of time off because we're not going to be, you know, going out on the road as much as we used to?
I assumed I would have a role in it. And at the time of the talk show, that's the other thing. My job with Kelly is constantly evolving. It's why when people ask what I do, it's such a hard question to answer. Like, what is my role or what is my position or whatever? It's just such a hard. It's like when I started with Kelly, this position didn't even exist. There wasn't a social media person. There wasn't no. that didn't exist. And I feel like Kelly kind of was one of the first artists to really hire a person solely for the purpose of gathering content to control her image and her social media platform, you know, presence. And so, and it's just evolved from there. And at the time when the talk show was happening, I was responsible for a lot of different things. So even if I didn't do something specifically with the talk show, I was doing all the stuff for The Voice, all the stuff for all the other things that were going on. So I knew even if I didn't work at the talk show, I would be involved. I'd be there. I'd be present doing something because we were so loaded when that show started. We were doing so much.
I can imagine because like now, I mean, the last couple of years, it's been more of like I'm used the term loosely, like an empire, basically. But there's so many different little avenues versus just like in the studio, doing a photo shoot, going on tour. Now it's like all the things. Plus there's NBC who I'm sure like they probably have some sort of say in terms of like, my point being is like, if you didn't know you were going to be on the talk show, you knew at least you were going to be with Kelly, the singer, and doing stuff that way.
Absolutely.
It lucked out that you were included and you still are.
Yeah. And originally I wasn't the photographer for season one. They had a photographer. So I didn't actually work for the show in season one. They were kind of using me. There's an advantage. Like I don't want this to sound braggy because there's an absolute advantage. I've been working with her for so long. I know exactly how to take her photo to get an approval. So it just made sense to use her photographer in this spot to make things easier. It just, I haven't a leg up on most. It's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, I said it earlier. It's a lot of times it's just like higher within because you have the experience, you know, what's best, you know, what can get approved, what does, you know, so I get it. Mm-hmm. Like no shade to that person. I'm sure they're great.
I work with him. I hire him for all my jobs. He just worked with me on a Wayfair job. He's a great guy.
Perfect.
Yeah. Nice. So there's no love lost whatsoever.
You know, obviously Andy sort of is big with the digital department. How mm-hmm. do you and Andy kind of work together? Because I know that you guys sort of sometimes will end up behind the scenes at, you know, maybe some sort of a digital video or something that's like not just TV related. How do you two, you know, sort of coexist?
Well, digital and production's really separate. So we don't really, the only time that we have to really coexist is on stage when he's doing recording digital stuff. And so it's no different than working with the other cameramen. We just, you know, don't get in each other's way. We are aware of each other's. I know what he's shooting. I know why he's shooting. He knows what I'm shooting and why I'm shooting. So we do what we do to stay out of each other's way and help each other. He'll help herd the cats for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll try to help him do the same, light something, or we just try to help each other in that way. It's really, really simple. He's basically everything the show. And so he actually works more with Jeannie, with like social strategies and coexisting those two departments together.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, do you have to like work with the digital team to get like your photos, get all that editing, all that stuff done and get it sent over to whoever is handling like the digital marketing and stuff?
No. So the way it works for me is basically as soon as the show's over, I go process those photos and upload them straight to NBC to a photo producer that then goes through them and,
Eliminates.
I don't have to. Once they go up to NBC, they're out of my hands.
That's wonderful. Oh, good
sure
for
is.
You. It sure is. You're like, I can actually get out on time.
Everything else.
No.
Beats having and to go like, back and like edit all the photos and decide which ones to use. Yeah, you ain't got that kind of time.
Yeah. No. I don't.
Segue here because that's great. You don't have to actually sift through like 7,000 photos each day. But you've done some photo shoots for her over the years. I think most recent one that I'm aware of, you don't have to spoil anything, is the People magazine one that you guys did,
yes.
Which was wonderful.
The first cover on that magazine. That's pretty great.
That was your first
cover? How about that?
On a like a real magazine? Absolutely.
Real magazine. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
I would grab it, but it's not in arm's distance. Oh, yeah. I have a broken toe.
No, it's
so
fine.
I'm not going to do that.
No,
don't
do that.
But so you've also done some like single photo shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, what is your preferred setup? Do you prefer the photo shoot? Do you prefer the talk show, a concert, or does it depend on the day?
It depends on the day. Okay. Like right now, because we do a lot of shows, I'm missing the live music aspect, but then we go on tour and I'm like, oh, I'm missing. It's whatever we're not doing is what I want to do.
That's fair.
The grass is always greener everywhere, which is honestly why I love this job, because it's constantly changing. And so I don't report because it's a real bane of my life. It's like, you know, Aben came out of the womb knowing guitar. It's all guitar. I'm a guitar hero and it's been his life. I've always been like, oh, I don't want to give that up. I can do this. I can do that. I'm like jack of all trades, master of none. That's always been like, I've felt that way. And so, which I've learned to just lean in. It's like, I don't have this problem anymore. I mean, I'm dealing with it, put it that way.
You sound like me. Oh my God. You literally sound like me with like the imposter syndrome of everything about my life.
Yeah, 100%, man. That is real. I have that for sure. For sure. But that's like, again, going back to like, that's why I like this job. Cause it changes constantly. So it's always fulfilling. I don't feel bored and burnt out. You know, as soon as I start getting burnt on something, we do something else.
Well, and you know, we sort of buried the lead a little bit when we were talking earlier about some of the videos that you've worked on and that you've specifically directed. For those that don't know, Weiss was behind the camera at the Belasco Theater in April of last year.
That's
and
right.
So we also have you to thank for a lot of the videos that came out from that particular show. This is the part where I know that I have to tread carefully because, you know, Pam and I were both there. We were actually there both days. And I know that there's a lot about the second day we still can't talk about. But something that I do want to ask you as sort of the director of both days of footage, mm-hmm. is it frustrating for you? I mean, maybe frustrating is the wrong word. Does it kind of suck when you know you and your crew have put a lot of effort into filming something and then it's then completely out of your hands as to whether or not that is going to ever see the light of day?
Absolutely. 1,000% yes. Frustrating is understatement of the year for sure. Mm-hmm. But with that said, there's a lot of things in this industry and about this job that are frustrating. And if you're going to focus on that and let that deter you, then you're never going to make it in this industry or at this job.
Yeah.
Of course it's frustrating, but it's also, it's like, I have signed on knowing it's not my footage. It's not my project. This was her project. This, everything about that was hers. It's what she wanted. I did what she wanted. And so it isn't mine to like say this should happen and this should happen and these sort of things. But yeah, I am human. You know, I did make this. I did put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this. And you always want your work to be seen. You know, you don't want to feel like you're making things to just live in a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So that is always frustrating. And there's, I mean, I'm going on 12 years now. Trust, there's a lot of frustration in hard drives.
There's a lot that we don't know about.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, and that's just the way it is. And that's not, I'm frustrated about it, obviously, but I'm not mad. I don't blame anyone. I don't have any ill will about
production.
It.
That's just like the world of production. It's just like you shoot 12 hours of footage for 30 seconds of use and then, it sucks, but it's the norm. So a lot of times it's the norm.
Absolutely. I mean, you know how many feature films are sitting in hard drives or sitting on a shelf in tape that are just masterpieces that have never seen the light? I mean, that's this industry. So like, yeah, to answer your question, 1,000% frustrating, but it's nature of the beast.
Yeah. We want to do a few questions that we got from some listeners that wanted to know some stuff from you. We want to start with a question from Joe. He says, what is the most iconic photo shoot, in your opinion, that you've ever done for Kelly?
Iconic?
Maybe, your favorite.
Yeah. Big word. I don't know.
Maybe iconic in your eyes. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like you went back and you looked at the product afterwards and you're like, damn, I nailed that.
Man, that's a tough one. I really liked, we used one of the photos for a single, and I thought there was really good photos in, is it the piece by piece single?
Okay.
Is it the black and white one?
Black and white. It's close. Yes. And her hair's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
I thought that was, I was proud of that image. I liked that shoot. We got a lot of good things out of that shoot. It was a good,
that was not the album shoot. That was a separate one, right?
Right. Yeah, that was a shoot for something else. But when she released that single, she liked that image for the single, so we used it.
Good pick.
Yeah, I agree. She picked a good one. And what's great about that is that was just a photo taken out of a video shoot. The whole setup was for something we did video wise. And just while we were there, like, we're here, let's take some photos. And I stole a couple stills, and that's what got used. So I really like that, all that we got in that moment, because there was a lot of tour footage we used.
Is there ever a time when you can, maybe by now you could probably just see it on her face, is there times when Kelly's just like, not photos, not right now. I'm not really into having my picture taken right now.
1,000%. I mean, that's why Weiss's I have this
face
job.
Is like, yup.
That's
yup.
Why I have this job, because I don't take pictures when she doesn't want them, you know. Yeah. And that's something I've had to learn over the years, just following her around doing BTS and stuff. Like, and that time doesn't happen a lot. She's there's not many times that she cares that you've got a camera in her face. She really is great in that sense. But if she does, she will look at me and be like, not now. And that's all she has to say. And that's rare. That's a rare occasion that's ever happened. But yeah, I mean,
I guess this goes to our next question from Raven, who's wondering, like, when you're shooting, whether it's her or any client, how important, I mean, I'm sure it's obviously very important, but like, what can you do to like make them feel more at ease so you can make sure that they're happy, but you need to get your job done?
Because
it's not always the easiest. People in general are not always going to be the most cooperative.
It's not. And again, I feel like it's an unfair answer for me, in the sense that, like, I've known Kelly for so long. It's not like unusual client situation, you know.
Yeah.
I know her personality. I know when she's not in a good mood. I know when she's like, and I've known her long enough to know when to back off and when to say something. And I, you know, so it's like, that one is just like, you just have to be good at reading people. There's no like technical advice I can give. There's no like, it's not even like
social
photography specific. Yeah, exactly. This is more of like, you just got to learn to read people and not be too pushy. And I think that's where a lot of photographers make the mistake, is they're so dead set on getting the image that they forget they're shooting a human, and they get too pushy, and they get real, they don't treat them like a human anymore. They treat them like, you know, like
a project
or a product. And it's like, man, you, at the end of the day, you have to remember your client is a human. If you're shooting people, your client is a human being, and you just have to treat them like a human being. And that's just what I do. And it seems to have worked for me.
Yeah.
Follow Weiss's advice.
Absolutely. Stacy wanted to know if you've got a favorite photo that you've ever taken, and why is it a favorite? Like, do you have photos that you, in this case, even your wife, have shot that you've thought so much of them that you're like, let's hang this at home?
You'll laugh at this. My wife is probably laughing if I don't know if she can even hear this right now, but she's laughing if she can. I'm weird about, there's nothing hanging in my, I'm in my apartment in New York. There's absolutely nothing hanging now.
I was like, that's a bare wall.
I'm actually like a plumber with bad plumbing in his house right now. I don't have any photos on my wall because we just barely got furniture in it. But I have this weird thing. I don't hang up art that isn't mine. I don't, it does, it feels wrong. Like, and my wife gets upset because like I've broken a little. I think she has a couple of pieces now that she bought that are, they're still not hung up, but she has them and she's going to hang them up. But I feel weird hanging up someone else's photography. Like, I'm a photographer. I should be able to shoot a photo worthy of putting on a wall. So, I do.
Then, oh, hi.
You heard that.
You heard that. Yeah.
Exactly. So, again, I'm like a plumber with bad plumbing in my house right now.
So hopefully within the next year, you know, in the next few months or when you guys are off from the show, you can get started on a little project.
Well, we've actually been talking about it. I want to do a couple of photo walks here in New York for that purpose to get some things to put on the wall. Because I won't let her put anything she buys on the wall.
Do I want to do it in the spring? If we actually get spring here, I'm not sure we will. It'll be great to walk around.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, I come from Texas where there's zero seasons. So like this feels like hella seasons for me.
It's insane four seasons. Yeah.
Identified like separate seasons. It's amazing. I love it.
Yep.
I have to say though, going off of the photos thing, my wife had to basically like beg me to hang some of the photos that I had taken at shows and stuff. She's like, these, they're not doing you any good on a hard drive. I know you're proud of them. Like, hang them up around the house. Like, she had to ask me to do it. And I finally did. And after I did, I was like, oh, actually, you know, I'm actually pretty happy I hung that up. That's like, that actually looks really good.
Yeah. It feels good. Like,
yeah,
it gives you the confidence. Like, okay, you know, if I can hang it in my house, I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm not sick of looking at this, then
I did something right.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a few other quick questions as we wrap up. What has been, I mean, this is 12 years, maybe more than that. What is your favorite memory of been working with the entire team?
Man, that is a tough one. Gosh.
It's like picking your favorite.
So many. Yeah. I really like tour. So like I enjoy traveling. The bus, I love living on the bus. I know some, a lot of the bands are over that. They don't care about living on the bus. A lot of them do. But I love tour. I love like going to new cities as a group and going to explore new things as a group. It's like, it's hard to pick one moment, but it's usually those are the times that it's fun. It's like when you go on tour, obviously you have days off in the city you go to. And
sometimes
we used to, the way we tour now, not so much, but we used to, the way the tours used to work, we would go to a city, have a day off in that city, do a show, go to the next city overnight. And then you would wake up in that city and have the whole day to go do stuff. And it was like that in every city we went to. So you got to do really cool stuff. It doesn't really flow that way now. Just touring's different now. Everything's different.
Yeah,
I always joke to myself that like I've been to Austin a few times and I've been there for like, you know, like a week or two at a time. Love it. Mm-hmm. Any other major city in Texas I've been to for less than 24 hours just because I've been there like for work. You're in and out, you dip. And so it's like I've been there technically.
Yeah.
But like it's nice when you actually have the time to like explore and go to work, do what the locals do or whatever, or even do what the tourists do. Who cares?
For sure.
I love that you mentioned the part about being on the bus because, I mean, obviously as Pam and I and most of our listeners don't really know what bus life is like, but I have always sort of had this like almost romanticized idea of the like camaraderie that you build when you're on a bus with band members and crew and et cetera. And just that rapport that you build with people, and not to say that this band or, you know, Team Kelly as a whole, as it is, needs any more of a rapport because you guys are already working with each other each day. But I imagine that was a really fun part of it all. I mean, yeah, it's great to explore other cities, but just the whole idea of like you're on the road and you've got all this time to just sit there and like just learn about other human beings who in and of themselves are very fascinating. I just think that's a really, that would be my... pretty much my same answer had I been in your shoes.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I mean, that's it. It's great. The camaraderie, like people become like family because because you're experiencing something that very few people do experience. Not everyone understands. And like, there's 100% glamour to it. Not going to like try to deny that, but man, there is some grueling parts of it as well. You know, some of it is a grind. It's a real grind. And like, that can be, you know, you're seeing people in their worst moments. You're seeing people right out of bed, right after, you know, you're getting all of that. So you do become like a family. You get so comfortable with people, you know, it's just, it's impossible to not happen. I feel like, you know, especially a camp like Kelly's, like you say, it's, she uses the same people. We've all been touring together for 20, you know, some of these guys have been touring together 18, 20 years, you know, Jason and Chris Dye and those guys were there immediately after Idol. They've been there ever since. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to not think of these people's family anymore.
Yeah. Which makes it probably a bit easier when you're like away from home for weeks, months at a time.
That's the other thing. You know, you're all of you are leaving your family behind. We're out there sharing that as well. That's an shared experience that you kind of all bond on as well.
That most people cannot relate to.
No, they can't. I will be honest. It was really tough for me and Jeannie because we had always worked together. We owned businesses together. We were usually around each other 24/7. So going on tour was a double-edged sword for sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So last question. I mean, you've done a lot and we can keep going. I didn't want to keep you.
No, I'm fine.
You've done a lot. Mm-hmm. What is something, whether that's with her or selfishly, you want to do career-wise that you have not done yet?
It's not a matter of, I feel greedy. It's more like I just want more, not necessarily anything new. I want more editorial shoots, more live. And man, I get beat up by the fans over, and in a good way, like, I know y'all want live DVD, a full live music and this sort of thing. And
that's not up to you.
I want it too, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
one of the things that I'm saying that I really want to do. So just fans know I'm in that fight with you every day. I'm
our man on the inside.
Yes, I want that as well. So that's something I really want to do. I would love to capture her entire show well. Like a yes. good live DVD. I would love to be given that opportunity.
Because audio, it's happened. I mean, I'm yeah. sure the audio is, I don't know, you can tell me if I'm wrong, it's captured probably pretty often. I don't know if they just keep it, but for certain shows, but video, not as much. It's
no, and it's like, but I mean, I want a real produce, like a real
yes.
live, a perfect example. I'll give you one of my favorite live. It's Sade's 2011 live concert. It's Stronger Than Pride. I can't remember the title, but it's the 2011 tour she did. It's one of the best live. Like, they just captured the live show like as close as you would get if you were there.
Right.
And I would just love to be able to do that of one of Kelly's shows because I just don't feel like it's been done yet.
No, there's been, a song here, a yes. song or two here.
Yes.
Would you want to do that, like, if you had all the choices in the world, mm-hmm. would you prefer to do that, like, in an arena, theater, club?
Theater. Mm-hmm. Theater, visually. I mean, I'm thinking.
Radio City.
Yeah. Radio City would be wonderful. That would be incredible, especially with all those balconies. I could mount cameras everywhere.
Yes.
The ceiling is so yeah. cool looking.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. That's why I love Belasco. I mean, that venue was beautiful. In hindsight, I would pick somewhere else because it was so hard.
Yes. And so we also funny. Heard from, so was it Robert Venable? I can't remember. Someone told us it was a very difficult show to shoot with the audio because the people were just going crazy.
Video was just as tough.
Oh, it was so it was so loud. It was so cramped in there.
Yeah, and the backstage sitch and the understage sitch was just as like cramped and hard. And
we went down there old building. The second day. It was very small. It was a lot smaller than I would have ever expected that downstairs to be.
Yeah, and just the space around the stage or the lack thereof. It was just there was nowhere to put gear. There was nowhere to put the things you need to film and produce a show.
So you've got a vision in your mind of sort of where you would take a live concert film with her.
Oh, for 10 years now, I have a vision of it for sure.
Now, do you ever have that like that thought in your mind? Like, do you just slip that by her? Like you're just casually talking one day and you say, I totally know how I would shoot an entire, you know, concert.
I mean, not like I haven't said I know how to shoot it and all that, but I've absolutely like, we need to do it. You know, I've always...
All right, so I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask the question that fans would probably want us to ask. Like, is it her? Is she just not interested? And I obviously don't want you to speak for her, but is she? Do you feel like she's just maybe not interested in something like that at this point?
Or is it like a label budget sort of thing?
Man, honestly, I mean, and I'm being, this is full disclosure. Your guess is as good as mine.
Fair.
I mean, I could give you a lot of like what I might think it is, but the honest to God truth is, man, I don't know.
And also it's hard.
I think a lot of it, most of it really is about time and you know, logistics and things
and clearance
like that.
And like getting clearance on certain things. And
yeah.
It's not just like set up a camera and film, you're done.
People don't understand there's a lot that goes into that. And you know, she has passed, you know, a lot of her career, her songs go from a past label that you have to get clearance through those labels. And there's things like that that, and I'm not saying these are the problems. I'm just saying these are obstacles that people don't think about. And so there's not always the time and the, I feel like that's probably more of what it is. It's just more about time and logistics and all of those things. It's not really, she just does not want to.
Right.
It isn't.
And there's more, you know, urgent things coming up. Like you guys have the talk show for the next month or two. You have the two shows in Atlantic City. Are you going to Paris?
Me? No.
Oh man. I know. Sorry.
I was, but it changed and I'm not. So, but it's good because, that happens right in the middle of my 20-year anniversary. So we're going to go do our own
thing. Happy anniversary. Thanks. So exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well.
20 years.
You have to think of something good. You haven't already.
Yeah, right? Well, Weiss, we certainly hope that we'll see you in Atlantic City. We're going to be there.
We
can't wait for the show. And I'm sure at some point, you know, Pam's going to be popping in and out of the Kelly Clarkson show from time to time. And so thankful for the time that you could give for us today. We have been wanting to talk with you for a long time, and the stories that you must have could probably write a couple of different books. So we're glad that you could share a few of them with us today. And I was going to say this to you earlier when you were talking about, you know, kind of all the hats that you wear and all the things that you do, it almost felt like it was minimizing you saying that you're a photographer and a videographer and a director, because I feel like there's so much more that you do that you deserve like a more grand title, but I don't even know if those words really all exist together yet.
Yeah, I don't either, man. I appreciate, I mean, no, that was as grand as I've ever had. So no, I appreciate it. it didn't feel worthy.
Yeah, well, you definitely are. You definitely are. And we as fans, you know, definitely appreciate the work that you put in and the things that you do to help bring an artist that so many of us appreciate and really enjoy, bringing her work a little bit closer to us in new and interesting and creative ways. We know that, you know, you get to do the big fun jobs like directing, you know, concert films like Belasco. And then I know that I've heard you in the background being her tech support when she's just trying to do Instagram live or something.
That's
so, so I know you wear a lot of hats, but we want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure, man.
And
my
we
pleasure.
Wish you all
thank
the
you
best.
So much.
And we hope to see you again real soon.
We'll see you soon. Anytime. Thank you so much, Weiss.
Yeah. Be sure to say hi to me.
I will.
I always love the feeling that I have after we talk with somebody, knowing full well that A, they wanted to keep talking or were willing to keep talking.
Yeah.
And that we could very easily have kept talking, and because I definitely was getting those vibes from Weiss today. And as somebody who, you know, is a graphic designer in a previous life and a photographer, amateur style, definitely have to make sure I make that clear. It's really, really fun to listen to him talk about his creative process and sort of hear him sort of speak the language that I know. And this was a really, really fun interview today.
Yeah. And especially because we haven't had anyone really on the visual side of her career that we've spoken with. So it's one thing that we've been talking to a ton of her past and present band members. So how they work with her on arrangements or whatever that might be. But it was very different when it's a visual.
Because
it's not like, you know, she does technically music. So to have the visual aspect accompany, whether that's the music, the talk show, it was really cool to hear that perspective. And We thank you so much, Wois, for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you. I think, Jeremy, I think we have a couple of Patreon shout-outs to do.
Absolutely, we do. Want to give a big shout-out to Amanda Rizzio from our Addicted level of Patreon. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being a Patreon supporter of Missing the Podcast. Also want to give a shout-out to Veronica Mendoza, who's at the All I Ever Wanted level, and also Holly McClelland. Thank you so much, Holly, for being an Addicted member of Missing the Podcast's Patreon. Of course, we would love it if you also became a member of our Patreon community because, and this is a great time to mention it, our Patreon members are going to get an exclusive extended edition of this very episode, which will have more insight, more questions, and more conversation with Wois Eubanks. And you're only going to get that on the Patreon page. So if you're listening to this on just your regular podcast app and you're not a Patreon member, you're only getting a smaller part of the actual conversation that we had with Wois, and you could get so much more if you're a Patreon member. And of course, you can get that details and information at missintopodcast.com. And while you're on missintopodcast.com, also make sure you click that link to our merch store. We have all kinds of fun stuff, everything from shirts to drinkware. We've now even got a notebook because
which I did not agree to. did not know it was for sale until I saw it on Twitter.
Hey, look, if you want to practice your Pictionary, you got to practice it somewhere. God. So why not inside of your Miss Into Podcast, I'm So Sorry, Mom, notebook. There's also a shirt that goes along with it. You can find it at missintopodcast.com.
If there is ever anything so niche to this fandom,
oh, yeah.
It is that.
I mean, we thought that the palm trees thing and the horses thing was niche. This is so very niche, but at the same time, it's so like the moment right now that it still cracks me up when I see it. And I can't believe we're already selling shirts for it.
No comment. Anyway, you can find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on the Spotify app, you can leave us a rating there and you can comment on this episode and other episodes as well. And we would appreciate if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll be back next week. And we hope you are too. And hope you guys have a great week. Bye.
And we've got lots more Team Kelly people still to come. So we can't wait for it. Much. Yes. We'll see you guys real soon.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.